Lord, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings for this weekend, and we just pray again that they would take root in our hearts and that you would help us be most concerned about following the example of our Lord and not desiring to be served or to receive honors and recognition, but to lay down our lives that others may come to know and receive you as their Lord and Savior. And we pray in a very special way in light of all the confusing things that are happening in our world and even in our church for the grace of discernment, that we may know what is good and pleasing to you, discover that and follow through, and help us stay together and to encourage and support one another. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the message I came up with today for the readings after praying about it was steps to humility. You know, it seems that the disciples often struggled with, you know, their own insecurities and who gets to sit here and do that and who's recognized and who isn't. And I guess that's just kind of part of our fallen human nature. But Jesus was humble, meek, and very humble of heart. And so he wasn't concerned about that. He was focused like a laser beam on his mission to lay down his life so that we could have a whole new way of life through the atonement of our sins, through his act of incredible love and mercy on Calvary. And so he invites us to do the same. And when we are insecure and not living out of our truest identity as children of God, then we too often jockey for position and power. And when someone doesn't recognize what we do and we don't get a pat on the back, we get all upset and we kind of cause a lot of discord and disorder in the church and in the world as well. So these are steps to humility. I hope they're steps to humility for all of us. Acknowledging our own need for redemption. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God and need to be redeemed by the mercy and grace of God. We can't save ourselves. And I think this is something we struggle with constantly is, you know, our own planning, our own doing. We think we can just kind of, like the Tower of Babel, build our way to God. And the basic message of Christianity is that, and this was last week we had readings from the book of Romans, Paul's great work of justification. How is a person put right with God? And it's through God's grace and faith in Jesus Christ. It's not through our own work and boasting of our works. We can't earn our way to heaven. And you've heard me ad nauseum over the last 4 years and 24 years as a priest, always complaining about the sin of Pelagianism, where Pelagius taught that we can justify ourselves before God without his grace. We can earn our way to heaven. And the church was very quick to condemn that, but I think it's still a very popular heresy today. You know, one of our professors in the seminary said that heresies are wrapped in new wrappers, but it's the same old junk. And they get passed on from generation to generation. And so Paul was very clear in Romans, and we read yesterday and the day before that in the daily readings for our scriptures, about how a person is not made right with God because of their own doing or their own works. It's through the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's really weak right now in the church and in the world. It really is, you know. And I told you, you know, I go to classes, CCD classes, excuse me, faith formation classes. I'm dating myself. When I was a kid, it was called CCD, Confraternity of Catholic Doctrine. Amen. You all get a lollipop when you leave the church for the correct answer. But now we don't call it that anymore. It's called faith formation. And 10 years from now, it'll be called something different. Same thing, though. We're trying to form a set of disciples. And, you know, I ask people, how are you put right with God? And a lot of them will just be a good person, do things, a few good deeds here and there. And most of the people never say anything about believe in Jesus Christ. Repent, believe, receive, be baptized, you know, the formula for the gospel. So we are all in need of redemption, and we can't save ourselves. And I told you before, when the night I was laying in bed, and I really believe that was the most liberating experience of my life. I can't save myself. I need a Savior, and I need to invite him into my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. He's knocking at the door of my heart. Lord, come on down. Come on in and change my life. And he did exactly that. The second thing that a lot of Catholics have forgotten about is confession. Confession is very good for the soul. It's one of the sacraments of our church. I'll be honest with you, I didn't go a lot when I was a kid. It just wasn't part of our CCD. We had a very watered-down version of CCD. My dad used to occasionally say, as my brother and I would be fighting with each other like 10 minutes after Mass, you kids should go to confession more often. When I was a kid, I had to go all the time. But, well, yeah, Dad, because you were a rotten kid and you got in trouble all the time. But I didn't go a lot. And then I got into college. I'll never forget a search retreat. So the first year in college, we had the search retreat with WSU. I was going to the University of Idaho, but we didn't have anything going on. It kind of was a dead period for the Newman Center there, the St. Augustine's. So we went over across the state line. They used to cross over the other way because the drinking age was 19, not 21. But that changed because the federal government said, we're going to take all your funds, and okay, we'll make it 21. So we went over to WSU and had a search retreat. And I hadn't been going to confession. I remember there were two priests available. One was Father Mark, our priest from St. Augustine's in Idaho, and then Father Craig from WSU. Well, I didn't want to go to Father Mark because he knew me. It's like, I don't want to go confess my sins to him. I work with him. I'm doing music ministry. But of course, I didn't pay attention to which rooms they were in. So I was the last one to go. I just sat in front of the little fire they had, the little candles they had. I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I haven't gone for a long time. And sure enough, I walk right into Father Mark. Sit down, James. I'm like, huh? But you know what? It was the most incredible celebration of God's mercy I've had. It was just amazing. And he just kind of read my soul and led me through the whole thing. It was positive. It was awesome. He gave me a scripture passage. And after that, I was hooked. And I went at least every month, if not more than that, depending on what was going on in my life. And it was just good to go. And I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord's like, if you're going to really call yourself a follower of me and try to follow me, we have a lot of things we need to clean up in your life. You know, we need to clean up. So it's always, you know, you and me. And so I just went to confession more often. And it was such an amazing healing experience because he would often get a word of knowledge to help me, like a word for healing in something in my life or my family. And I just got hooked after that. And I've gone ever since, every month at least. So confession is really good, but I know a lot of Catholics have gotten out of the habit of going to confession. You're missing out on huge graces. You're missing out on huge graces. Take it from me in my own experience. I wish I'd gone more often when I was a teenager. I probably wouldn't have fought so much with my brother if I did. And my mom and my dad and everybody else. And the cat, whatever. Okay. So examine yourselves in the light of the gospel. That's the beauty of confession. Confession is good for the soul. Amen? Yeah, right. Just kidding. I got to jab you a little bit. And then the last thing, and this is the most beautiful thing, and this happened last night during the prayer meeting we had, helping others experience the mercy of God. Love consists of thinking of others. So the first reading from Isaiah, it pleased God to crush him in infirmity. It pleased God that he would take on our sins and then turn around and redeem us and not, you know, I'm going to get even with you for all these sins you've done. No, I'm going to forgive you. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And then offer us a whole new way of life, right? So when we experience God's mercy, we have to share it with other people. Because I'm convinced, and I shared this with a friend the other day, that so many people are living under a spirit of shame and guilt for things they've done in their past, and they don't think there's any way out of it. And we have to tell them, no, those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you, 1 Peter. And the more we experience God's mercy, the more credible witnesses we are to other people around us. You can't give what you don't have. So if you haven't experienced the mercy of God in light of your own sinfulness and the need for redemption, how can you possibly be a credible witness to anybody else around you, right? But once you experience that and the joy of, give me back again the joy of your salvation, Psalm 51, then you're set and fixed to help other people around you who are doubting that, who may not be aware of it, to experience that themselves. And when you share that with other people, it comes back to you. It comes back to you and it rekindles that grace even more. If you want to grow in your faith and share it more with other people, it's not meant to be kept to ourselves. So love consists of thinking of others, and that's exactly what Jesus did. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what his followers have to do as well. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, that can happen. And just one thing, you know, when people get in positions of power and authority, they can often lose sight of this truth. And so we need to be praying for our bishops, our pope, people in positions of authority, people in our government. I went to Rome once, and I ran into somebody who was a classmate of mine. He was a year behind me, and he became a bishop rather early in his life. Poor guy. But he was really unfriendly, like he didn't even know me. It was just like, wow, you know, I just ran into him. Hey, I remember me. I was a year ahead of you. I used to sing during Mass. And it just he just wasn't friendly. And I thought, wow, what happened? Is that what happens when you become a bishop? You just kind of forget the people that you grew up with and you were formed with and everything. But then I realized, you know, rather than judging him, I need to be praying for him. Because it's very easy when you separate yourself from the people you serve and get kind of locked away in a chancery or something to lose sight of the common plight of everyday people. It happens to everybody. A friend of mine once said, power apart from God corrupts. Power apart from God corrupts. So rather than, you know, looking at people that might not be relating to us as we think they should, we need to be praying for them. And somebody challenged me last week and said, you know, Joshua was assigned to go ahead and clear out the land and prepare it so that the people could cross over and enter the promised land. And she made the comment, there's some people I don't want to enter the promised land. They're obstinate, they're not doing the right thing, some politicians, some people. And I thought, oh, I've got some of those on my list too. I need to really be praying that I don't have anyone on my blacklist. For a long time I didn't, but now I do. And so I need to be praying and doing what I can to help other people experience the mercy of God. And that means I have to address those hard, harsh judgments that I have about other people. And like Jesus, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And I want them to experience the fullness of redemption as you do. I want to be in your will. And so when we only want that for certain people, we're not in the will of God. So we have some work to do. But you know what? God is with us. Amen. He's going to help us get there. So steps to humility. Acknowledging our own need for redemption. We can't save ourselves. We're not Pelagianists. Confession. If you haven't made a confession, you don't have to go to me. You can go to a neighboring parish. I get that. You know, oh, he knows me. I don't want to go to him. Not that I would remember you. Don't flatter yourself. Father, do you remember me? No, I don't remember you. I've got my own garbage sack. I'm not going to carry yours around with me. Thank you very much. But I'm available Saturdays, 4 o'clock to 4:45. Sunday mornings, bright and early, 7:30 to 8:20. Although the Hispanics come and business is really good with them. The gringos don't go to confession. The Hispanics do in general. So pray for the gringos. And then Tuesday nights from 6 o'clock to 6:45. But always by appointment. Just call me on the phone, email me, threaten to shut off the electricity. I'll get back to you, I promise. Amen? But don't miss out. And then help others experience the mercy of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your kindness. Psalm 103, the Lord is kind and merciful. And he is kind and merciful. And he wants to help us experience the fullness of redemption. So help us to be humble and to seek you, and you are our great high priest who lives to intercede on behalf of your people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.